What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us for another Gamecast. I'm your co-host, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to have an easygoing week for the most part, talk about some really cool things. But first, as usual, we're going to talk about some of the events that happened this past week. For me, not a whole lot. In a sense of, like, I guess personal, but I was able to get on Instagram and watch the Teddy Riley versus Babyface versus event brought to you by Timberland and Swiss Beats.
Nice.
It was cool. I think depending on your age, I think you might lean towards Babyface or Teddy Riley. I think Babyface had some, like, better songs, and not so much because of the catalog, but I think because the way they were doing it was one would play a song and the other person would kind of like I'll top that, and you know, so Teddy Riley would play something and I'm like, oh, that's a dope song, but then Babyface would play something, I'm like, oh my god, like the memories, and so it kind of went back and forth. There was some sound issues, just like on Saturday. This was actually a rematch because Saturday there was a ton of sound issues and Teddy just, yeah, it was all over the place. He was doing too much. But Monday night was, they finally got things, you know, working, and he was able to play most of his music. Unfortunately, I want to say towards the end of it, because it's supposed to be 20 songs apiece, and I want to say they were at maybe 16, I think. It started to crash. IG crashed, basically.
Oh, no.
Because it was like 600,000 people watching.
Wow.
And people were still trying to get in. And so what happened was eventually they went back live and, you know, Babyface tried to invite Teddy Riley and he couldn't get in. Like, it kept saying like error. And IG actually came on and was like, hey, you guys basically broke IG for mobile. You can go on to your laptops and watch it. And unfortunately, at that time, I think Babyface was like, I'm tired. I'm going to play a few songs. Because they didn't realize what was happening. And I guess from, like, not to say that they're old, but they were having trouble anyways. Like, I don't think Babyface is on IG, like, talking about in terms of, like, doing live videos versus people and stuff, or, like, just having videos with people on with them. And so he was already, you know, like, I had to get this all set up. And then there's sound issues on the other side. I can imagine him being like, you know what? I'm good. So he actually brought out his guitar and started playing while he's waiting for Teddy Riley to jump back in. But yeah, it was great. It was great to hear a lot of the old songs. There were songs that I didn't know that they wrote or either, like, produced. That was really, really cool. And, like, for instance, the song with Michael Jackson, Jam. I didn't know that was Teddy Riley. I totally didn't.
Me neither. And then, I don't remember.
Yeah, like and then there was a couple songs with, I knew he had worked with Heavy D, but there was a couple songs that I just didn't know he had any part in, because there's, you know, back in the day, I didn't really look at.
We were kids.
Yeah, like I didn't look at who produced what. Or, you know, I'd come to learn about them as I grew older. Like, oh, like he's getting an award for this song, or he got a Grammy, and like, oh, okay, he's a part of the production. He's a part of whatever. I think it was like, I forget what year it was, but like when Timberland came on the scene, that's when I started to recognize, like, oh, he's doing the beats for Missy and Genuine and, you know, in some cases, you know, Usher or Jay-Z. Like, okay, I know, and like Swiss Beats. And so I started to understand at that point. But before then, especially on the R&B side, I didn't know. I didn't know there were ghostwriters. I didn't know any of that stuff. So it was really cool. It was like a history kind of, like, history lesson. Like, oh, okay, you had your hand in, you know, these things outside of the obvious stuff, like Guy. Like, we knew Teddy Riley was a guy. So that was really cool. Also, just recently, well, actually today, Fortnite had a concert, or it's actually having a tour with Travis Scott. He performed in the game. If you guys have heard of this before, like, Fortnite will have like a big concert. I think last year was like Marshmallow, I think that's his name. So like you'll jump into the game and they'll have like a special queue for you, and you'll be in the world and you know, a virtual version of these, you know, people will come in and perform a concert. Which is pretty cool. It reminds me of like
Yeah.
Gorillaz, but like you know, game wise as opposed to anime. And Travis Scott did it, but it was like he transformed the world. Like at one point, he turns into like a giant like spaceman, and like he's everyone's good. Is submerged underwater while the concert's going on, and then they're like another point, they're like flying through the sky while he's like rapping or whatever. Like it was crazy. And it was only like I think 15 minutes really, but you had to be there. So like it started at 7 tonight, so I know you're listening to this Friday, so Thursday. And you had to be there like 30 minutes before, so you had to sign into the game 30 minutes before to kind of make sure you were able to get there. And because it filled up, like there was thousands of people all over to jump in, and it was really pretty cool. If you missed it, no worries. You can still watch because, like I said, it's going to be a tour as opposed to a one-time event. So Friday, so that will be today, the day you're listening to it, 10 a.m. Eastern time. You can jump in, and they'll have this, you know, same show. Saturday, April 25th at 12 a.m. as well. Saturday, April 25th, 11 a.m. and then the 25th, 6 p.m. as well. All Eastern time. You can jump in and you know, check it out. Interesting. It was interesting. Also, if you do jump, get a chance to get into the concert, you get free stuff for the game, not like in real life, because yeah, no one, no one's giving free stuff out in real life. That's too many of y'all. But yeah, you'll get like free loading screens and a glider that is a, I want to say it's the roller coaster. So like, if you've seen his latest album or like viewed his like real life concert, he has like the roller coasters and stuff. You get one of those on your back. So when you're like, you know, hang gliding in or whatever.
Yeah.
So like cosmetically, and then there's also like you can buy costumes to make yourself look like him in the game. So all that stuff is going on right now. Definitely go check it out if you're a fan of Fortnite and Travis Scott. So that's kind of been my week for the most part.
Cool. Cool. I like the Fortnite battle. That just sounds like a lot of fun. I can see a lot of people kind of just being into it. And there's already people who are really into Fortnite anyway, but that's kind of like a little added bonus. So that's cool. That's really cool. I like that
Yeah,
idea.
especially everybody, like, you know, no one's got anything. I mean, not to say that no one's got anything to do. Obviously, we do have lives, people. But what I mean is, like, you know, if you're kind of just chilling and like, hey, there's something going on, this is a free thing that they were doing. And you know, if you're a fan of Travis Scott, I mean, who wouldn't want to kind of see them? Like, and
Yeah.
because you can't go to a concert right now, this is the next best thing outside of like a live. I know IG did, not IG, Caffeine did a live show with a bunch of artists recently as well for charity. Outside of something like that, this is something else you could do to kind of, you know, kind of celebrate and kind of have fun with a bunch of people in a safe way. So yeah, I definitely commend Epic for doing that and to extending it for multiple days, because typically, like I said, the Marshmallow event, that was a one-time show, and if you just happen to miss it, or you couldn't get in because it was the servers were full, you just missed it, unfortunately. Or unless someone recorded on YouTube and kind of snuck it out, you know, you kind of missed it. So this is really cool because it gives you several chances to kind of catch it.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I like that. I like the idea. What else?
What else happened this week? Let's see. Well, the show, there's a couple of new shows that came to Netflix. They also announced that the first three, or the, I'm sorry, the three seasons of Avatar: The Last Airbender is coming to Netflix, which, if you haven't seen the show, I mean, come on, son. Like, you
I
gotta
mean,
watch it.
I own it, so.
Yeah, it's quite good. And please, if you've only saw the film and that's what you're like basing it on, don't. It's like, we're just gonna pretend the film doesn't exist.
The film doesn't exist. We don't have to pretend. There is no film.
Yes, just like the Matrix sequels, it just never happened.
Nope.
And so, yeah, like check out the show. I forget exactly what day it's supposed to hit, but it's coming to Netflix soon. The Michael Jordan doc, The Last Dance, has started on ESPN. If you don't have access to ESPN or ESPN2, don't worry about it. It's also coming to Netflix in July. Interesting documentary about Michael Jordan, if you care to see behind the scenes about him, and what he's done and contributed to the game of to the sport. Definitely, check that out. They're doing it in episodes. So I think
Okay.
the first three episodes available, I think, or two or three, and they're supposed to end sometime next month with like the ninth or tenth episode. And then when it comes in July, obviously you'll be able to binge it all on Netflix.
Nice. That's cool.
And outside of that, the Blackest F show is on Netflix. I'm not a fan, and we can get into why I'm not a fan later, but I am not a fan. I'm not a
No.
fan of
How
that.
many episodes did you watch?
I want to say the first episode, I watched some of the second, and then I kind of like, I didn't want to, I think waste is a bad word. I don't want to say waste because there some people might find enjoyment from the show. I don't want to say waste, but I'll say that I didn't want to spend all of my time watching this show. And so I kind of just went through and kind of like, like saw some highlights, read some stuff about it, looked at interviews. So I wanted to see like, is this worth, like, does it get better? Should I just keep going? It's gonna get better. But because people were telling me like, episode five is when it really changes. So I was like, all right, let me skip to episode five. And it was more the BS. So I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. It does have funny moments. There's a really, really, really funny moment in the first episode. Like I almost was in tears. Like it caught me off guard. But for the most part, it just does a poor job. I think if it wasn't called Black as F, I think I might be okay with it. But it just does a really, I don't know, it just feels like it does a disservice to the image that we have collectively. So, and we'll talk about that more, but it was just, there's things that I don't like about it. I think depending on how you're leaning, because there people can kind of say the same thing about the Boondocks, and I like the Boondocks. So it's kind of like where your I guess your fight is personally. And then there's also a side of colorism there that people have been mentioning, and I'm not super on board with that, but I kind of see where their complaints are coming from. So yeah, like I said, we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, beyond that, it's been pretty chill. Pretty chill. Doing a little bit of gaming. We had a really cool Saturday night stream. We streamed a survival horror game.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, it's an episodic survival horror game called Manmadian. It's actually an anthology, so there's going to be another portion that comes out later. But we streamed a little bit of it, and it was interesting because Jamie was playing as one as a character, and I was playing as another character, and we kind of like switch roles. So like there will be times where like I'm being pulled off somewhere to do something, and he's by himself or with like an NPC character, and our views are different. The cutscenes that we see are different. And one of the really cool things was when we first started playing, we were playing as these two soldiers, and we were going on to, I guess, like a haunted ship. And as we're playing, I'm walking my character, and he's behind me. So in his screen, obviously he's looking through his eyes, and I'm looking through mine. And a little kid, like I guess like a ghost of a little kid, runs by my screen. And so I'm like, oh crap, did you see that? And he's like, I didn't see anything. And what we found out was the game was doing a little kind of some trickery where it not only did he not see it on his screen, he didn't hear any of the music. And so it was kind of like my character was hallucinating. And so as I'm freaking out, like as we're playing, I'm like, yo, how did you not see that? There's a kid right there. He's like, what are you talking about? It was great. It was great. Definitely check that out. It's on, it well, I think it's yeah, it's on Steam, Xbox and PlayStation. And then the next one should come out later this year. With a whole new cast. There's one guy called the curator who I guess think of like the Crypt Keeper. So he is always around. But the main cast that you play as changes. Also what's interesting about this game is that your choices matter. Everything from your dialogue choices to like what you actually do in the game can affect someone. So I can accidentally get Jamie killed if I was messing around too much, or I can get myself killed, or and then what would happen is when that person dies, you kind of control another character from that point going forward. And then, you know, again, your actions, so you can have where all the entire cast lives, or if you make bad choices, you know, some of them might die. So it plays out kind of like a B film with, you know, kind of cheesy dialogue and, you know, stuff like that. It's mad fun though. We did that for the Saturday night stream, and so that's up on YouTube. Definitely check that out.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds cool. I heard that Wayne Gretzky and Ovechkin had an online NHL like hockey battle, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
That's dope.
it's pretty smart. I mean, I know that the NHL decided to do virtual games, I guess back in March or something like that, and apparently you just had the greatest have this like online game, and it, I guess they like raised over $40,000 for a coronavirus relief. So that's really cool. That was something to smile about.
That's dope, 'cause that's it's similar to the what EA was doing with FIFA, you know, soccer, where they had, you know, the pros actually playing online and people could watch and kind of donate. So yeah, that's cool. I'm glad they were able
They
to
do it
kind of
on
do
Twitch.
that. You said they did it on Twitch?
Yeah, on Cap, because the Caps have a Twitch channel, and so apparently that's where they played.
Oh, okay, I
Yeah,
have to
they
go
live
check out.
streamed it.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, we'll put it on the site.
So yeah, we have to. I'll definitely have to. Hopefully, they saved it or archived it, so I can kind of go, you know, look. So yeah, so that's kind of been, you know, what's been going on this week. Nothing too crazy outside of, you know, obviously the political world, but you know, mostly good stuff. Right now, though, we kind of want to move into our topic for the week, and in this, I'm actually pulling this or maybe stealing, I don't know. I'm using air quotes, stealing, but the idea kind of came to me. I was rewatching the movie Blindspotting. And if you haven't watched that movie, dope film. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to ruin it, but it has to do with like racial tension and what people, how people view people, mostly people of color. And so the term, and I'm not spoiling anything, I don't think this is a spoiler. However, if you think anything about, you know, hearing anything about films that you haven't seen is a spoiler, I will warn you now, spoiler. And okay, all
It
right.
put it on the thing. So like as soon as you click on the link for this cast, it'll say warning spoilers.
There you go. And I'll put a the time in there so you can kind of just skip right over. But yeah, so essentially, the blind spotting is a term one of the characters come up with, where you're looking at one of those kind of like visual puzzles, and if depending on who you are, you'll see one image over the other, and vice versa. You won't see both at the same time. It's usually, even if it's like a second later, you'll see something first and then something else. So in the film, there's like a picture of a vase, and the one of the characters sees it, he's like, oh, it's a vase. And then the another character is like, well, is that all you see? And then the person looked again, is like, oh, it's two faces. And what you find out is that it's kind of like a not it's not allegory. Is it allegory? It's kind of like a it's kind of trying to help the viewer understand some of the themes or the broader themes in the film. And it's which is how you see people, how you view people, mainly people of color. And I found that interesting because of the hoopla surrounding Black as F. Even if you haven't seen the show, don't worry. You can kind of understand where I'm going. There's this thing where white people see Black people in a certain light, some of it because of what we do, and then some of it because of some type of stereotype. And then on the flip side, there's Black people who see us in a certain light, based on what we've done or our history or maybe, yeah, our history or pain or things of that nature. And so they kind of see an image, the same image, and they kind of flip-flop between the two based on where they come from, where they start from. And granted, it's not just, you know, obviously it's not just Black people, but for our point of view, being black, this kind of resonates because in the media, we're not always portrayed in the best light. And it's interesting, not from a burn everything down because they don't treat us right kind of stance, but interesting from a subconscious, like how do you view us or how do you view yourself when you see these things? One of the things when I was watching Black SF was that there were some really interesting points that was brought up by the show in terms of how people view you. In the first episode, and just so you know, like the person is a writer from Blackish. I forget his name.
He's a creator, Kenya Barris.
Yeah, there you go. And he has this show, and so it's supposed to be like a mock documentary of his life. So it's not real, but it's supposed to be like whenever someone has a show, like not the Cosby Show, but like the Cosby Show. Like it's supposed to be a reality show that's based on his life, but it's fake. And so he brings up some interesting points with his daughter gets like I think blue or purple hair, and he was worried about how people would view her, which was interesting. And there's some validity there based on how quickly we can be put in a certain box because of the things that we've done or like how we look. Like for instance, I mean, granted, I guess this is old because people are like tighter clothes now, but I rock like baggy clothes, baseball cap, Tim's, like that's kind of how I dress. And outside of the fact that I have a baby face, you might look at me and be like, I don't know. depending on who you are. And to be honest, like that's happened. Like when I was at VCU, I was followed around the store. And I looked like everybody else there, but the person who's also another person of color was like, nah, this dude might steal something. Even though I've come in there every day and literally bought something just about every day. It was the VCU bookstore. So like they had like a small cafe, a bunch of books, art supplies. I would go in there and get like more paint or pencils or whatever the case may be. Never stole anything, and I would still get followed around. It could be a crowd of people and I would get followed. And so basically I fit the description, right? And so there's that there's so that so when they said that, I said, okay, we have a point. We have something that we're trying to do. But then in terms of moving through the characters are talking about why this is important and stuff, then the characters kind of go left. And so like two other characters come up there, they're white, and they see that their daughter's hair is purple, and they're like, oh, she's like Cardi B. And immediately I'm like, okay, I see where this is going. Let's see how they handle this situation. And they did so in an extremely poor manner. They basically were like, we have more money than you, and we don't care what you think because we have more money. That was the gist of it. Like they were talking about like, we're gonna go to the same place you're going to, but we're gonna fly in our private jet and we're gonna blah blah blah. And it was like, so you went petty. Okay. But and so like there are things that they bring to light and then they kind of make fun of it, but not in a way that's like, oh, I'm gonna learn from what you're doing. It's more like I'm gonna make light of it and then like sweep it under the rug. And I thought they had a cool point because there was an immediate reaction to seeing her hair. There was an immediate reaction, and it was different. The father had a negative reaction, and and supposedly the white couple had a positive reaction, but it was met negatively, and I understood why. But no, there's no interesting dialogue. There's nothing to extrapolate from this occurrence other than buffoonery, and I feel a way. Like I feel a way because I'm like, this is. You had a chance to really do something profound because, like, again, they thought they were doing something okay because, Cardi B successful and et cetera, and no knock on Cardi herself, but there's an underlying thread of racism that the characters didn't understand that they were doing in that moment. And this was a time to educate them because they're supposed to be your friends. And granted, they kind of make it plain that these people are they're only friends with them to kind of keep up with the Joneses type of thing. Like I can show this person up, you know? And so that I should have known there that it wasn't going to go right. But this was a time to do something where it was like, okay, let me inform you of why this is not cool in a way that you would kind of understand, or at the very least, if you didn't get it, the audience would get it, right? Like the actors might not get it, but the audience will. And they totally go left. And to the point of like, so like, you know, there's the idea like, I don't care what people think. And one of the whole time, he's like buying jewelry and expensive things, and he's like, you know, I'm not too old for this, you know, this huge gold chain. I'm not too old for that and all this other stuff. But then as soon as that happens, they're like, we're gonna buy a jet, we're gonna buy everything, and we're gonna it's this weird thing that they did where they flipped it, and I thought it was gonna be positive, and it fell all over the place. And that essentially what happens throughout the season, for the most part. I didn't see all of the episodes, but for the most part, it's like you have a really solid, like, okay, this is gonna be, I see where you're going, and they fall off a cliff into dumbness, and I'm like, oh, like why? And so like it's and so like so then that's one view, right? I take a positive view. There's an episode of one of my favorite shows is A Different World. There's an episode where Whitley goes to a jewelry store. Mind you, Whitley is rich, like her family's rich. She goes into a jewelry store, and the white woman behind the counter doesn't believe that she has enough money to afford whatever that's in the store. And so she treats her less than the entire time. And what Whitley does is like, well, I'm going to show you up. I'm going to buy this expensive thing that I was looking at, and I'm going to buy two other things or whatever. Like, I'm going to show you. And when her friends find out about it later at, you know, at the dorm, they're like, you did that the wrong way. That was really foolish. And she's like, why? Like, I showed her up, right? Like, I proved that I could purchase this. And it's like, that doesn't actually change her view of you, though. And not only that, you gave her a commission after she treated you less than. And so they kind of go, you know, they kind of go through the rigmarole. Like, she didn't really get it at first. Eventually, she goes back to the store, and she's returning the items. And another woman, another white woman who works there, is like, why are you returning these things? And she explained how she was treated poorly and all this other stuff. And the woman who rung her up was like, you know, like, you why are you returning? Like, you know, blah blah blah. And she's like, you know, I'm never gonna come here again. What you find out is this second woman is the manager. And so she's like, oh, really? And so she calls, obviously she fires the woman. But like, her demeanor when she found out why Whitley was returning the items is what should have had, or the how she felt is what people should feel when they view the scene, and how we should feel with Whitley in that case. We're not going to shop here. We're going to take our money across the street because you're not going to treat us less than. We're this is a teachable moment. You have a platform, and you know, it's still funny. Like, there was a lot of funny stuff in the episode, but in terms of standing up for herself and showing that she's not going to be used or treated less than the other person just because of the color of her skin, because it wasn't anything else. She didn't come in there bummy. She wasn't like, you know, it was just it. She looked rich even going into the store. Like, she looked like she had money, and she was still treated less than. And so, these are two examples of how. Now, these are, you know, two examples of similar instances of people seeing something and reacting in a negative way, one deemed positive and one deemed like negative from the start, and it's handled differently. And so there's that. And so what I was thinking about that, along with the blind spotting, is why am I so readily able to see certain things, even though I might not have experienced those things myself? Is it because of my background? Is it because of my history that I can kind of pinpoint that and be like, that is a problem? Or am I looking for that in a way that's like a negative way? Like kind of like how they say, like, we're, you know, certain people are always looking to be offended. Like, am I looking for that? Or is it just something I notice? And this is interesting because not everybody saw that first. Some people saw a funny moment. you know, the characters being petty in Black SF, and didn't see the other stuff until later. Like, oh, okay, I kind of see what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like, it was a secondary thing. And so it's interesting. And I think that it's worth talking about. Like, how do we come to these images? How do we come to these type of things? Because I would imagine not everyone is trying to offend. But I think some people are kind of tone deaf, too.
Again, not everybody is trying to offend, but some people just offend because that's how they were raised and they don't know no better, or they don't know they're being offensive because they literally live this every day and they don't know it's wrong. I mean, how many times have people tried to touch my hair when I was younger and growing up? And it's just like, just because my hair is so different from yours doesn't give you the right to put your hands in it. Like, I'm still a human being and I'm not, you don't see me running my fingers through your hair. Like, and so I think that just some people just don't seem to understand where the line is. And that's why some people can't tell that they're being offensive. It's like they don't set out to be offensive, but they've been acting this way their whole life and don't know any better because either nobody's called them out on it, or they're like, but everybody else in my circle behaves this way, so why would I behave any different? And they don't know any better. They're ignorant. But I haven't seen Black as Fuck. I've not seen it yet. I've seen the previews because, you know, they're on. And I, of course, I do want to watch it. But sometimes I look at that show in comparison, especially with the stuff you're saying. And I feel like you can't watch it without watching Black-ish. So if you're not a Black-ish fan, then you probably should not watch the show because you may not get. Like, I don't think that anybody who doesn't know who Kenya Barris is or doesn't know his story and doesn't know, like, the characters that he creates, like, that they probably won't get this. And I still haven't even watched it, but for him being ridiculous and, like, buying and buying and buying and buying, it's just a, like, it's like Dre on crack from Blackfish. Because how many episodes did you see Dre being like, I'm going to go do this. And then he went and bought 30 pairs of shoes. Or he's like, I'm going to wear my big diamonds today. The fact that in season 4, I hope this isn't a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it, but in season 4, season 5, whatever, somewhere in there, where him and Bo decide they're going to go their separate ways, and he gets the biggest house. He had a huge house. And then he goes and gets the biggest house. Like, who needs this house? And you're supposed to be single right now. Like, you and your wife are breaking up. You and your 5 children or however many children you decided you had at that point. And then you, I guess, took your dad with you. The house was bigger than the house he already lived in. Typically, when a family breaks up and a husband is the one who leaves, the wife doesn't leave, but the husband leaves, he gets a smaller place that's much more manageable. No, he got a bigger place that was bigger than the house him and 6 other people lived. Seven other people lived in. So,
do you think? But with that, do you think? And not to cut you off, but I think that's interesting. Watch it because I've seen Black-ish, but like, do you think that was more of a kind of like how they say, like, you have a midlife crisis where, like, you buy something to kind of make yourself feel good about whatever, you know, getting older or getting whatever, like, I'm gonna go and buy. And that's kind of why I think, like, even though Black-ish is called Black-ish and this is called Black as F, there are certain points where I'm like, okay, there's parallel in how someone moves or acts. But I think that in Black as F, like, there's a pretense to deal with a certain black issue in a certain way. And I think with Black-ish, at least from what I've seen, I haven't seen every episode, but I know when they do hint on Black issues, they tend to get serious. So, like, in terms of, like, when they did the episodes, I forget what season it was, where it was the police shooting, shooting an unarmed Black man, and where his wife was like, you know, well, what was he doing? You know, what was, because that's kind of the stance that a lot of people have, like, what was he doing out there at night, blah, blah, blah. And the husband was like, that doesn't matter. Like, how he's, this is happening so often. It doesn't matter if it's night, day, we're getting shot regardless. Yeah. And they had a serious dialogue, even though there was comedy there. There was serious dialogue there where I was like, you know what? That episode made me start watching. Like, because I felt like they dealt with, even though they have their silly moments, they dealt with something in a important or a way that you can pull something from. Like, I can hold this, what you're doing. Like, okay, you're intelligent. There's good writing here. And even with the Boondocks, because Boondocks is way over the top with their comedy. But I still feel, at least in the first two seasons, I can't talk about three, but the first two seasons, if there was a serious issue, I think they handle it in a way that we weren't looked at as the brunt of the joke.
Yeah, I can I don't know how to answer that question because I haven't seen the show.
Right. I mean, I guess in terms of just Blackish, not so much the other show, but in Blackish, when he bought the big house, was that something where you were like you watching it, was that like, okay, black people would or wouldn't do that, or he's doing that because of whatever he's going through?
Well,
I think that's where the distinction.
he was definitely doing it for whatever he was going through, but I my parallel was more of to Dre the character because he does outlandish things all the time. I mean, he is pretty much an outlandish person. And
Right.
because of the fact that he is black and he is from Compton and he is like extremely successful and he is a vice president or SVP in an ad agency and he has literally made it. He is the hey, look, Ma, I made it kid, you know? And so he does these things. He's allowed to do. He has his nice car. He wears a new pair of Jordans every week. He has all of his great clothes. He never lets anybody like not know how black he is and this and that, and he comes correct and this, that, and the other. And he's like, I have a big house. I did da, 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 da. My kids go to this school. They go to this private school. That you know, like those kinds of things. That's his behavior. He's over the top. You know, it's almost like
Gotcha.
Tasha Mack from The Game, like because she was so rich off of her managing her son as a football player. And even though what I loved about The Game, a lot of people, you know, some people don't like it because I didn't want to like it at first. And then I pushed myself through the first few seasons. I did. I managed to get through the first few seasons. And I was like, okay, this show's hilarious. But it really, really, really did a great job on showing the stereotypes. I love the fact that, what's his name? Malik was stereotypical. He was just complete stereotypical guy playing football. You know,
Right.
stories from the hood, and he ended up being quarterback, and he was ridiculous. He bought himself, he got a $40 million contract and went and bought a $40 million house. Like, it was so stupid. He bought all these cars. He bought a freaking, like, a bunch of, like, Rottweilers and chained them up. He didn't even, like, they weren't even inside. They were outside on chains and had, like, a pony in the back. And then he was dating, I can't remember if he was dating, I know he dated Robin Givens for a little bit. He dated Serena Williams for a little bit. And then he started, oh, he was dating, I think he was dating Jill Scott at this point. Okay, I think it was either Jill Scott or someone else, some other neo soul person who was like, yeah, I don't think I can get down with you because as much as I like you, why do you have to do these things? Like, why did you have to get this big house? Why did you have, wh why? Why did you have got to get the Rottweilers? Like, did you have to get the Rottweilers? Did you have to be this black? Like that's what was going on in, you know, in that moment. And then you have Tasha, who is like, oh, by the way, like Tasha's rich. She's a manager and she manages her son and some other football players. But Tasha, she's so adamant on everybody knowing how much money she has. And when she tips on the tip. That was Tasha's MO, her line on that show, besides my name is Tasha Mack. And she had to put her hands up. I'm Tasha Mack. She also had to say, I tips on the tip, because I tips on the tip. That was her line. You know, that's what I'm saying. It was like she was letting people know how much money she had. And when her son went broke, she went to go live in a hotel. She went to live in a penthouse in the hotel. She's like, I don't need a house. I can afford to live in a hotel forever. You know, like. And she managed her money well, you know, unlike her son. But my point is that I think Kenya Barris is playing this character in this show as kind of like a parody of himself or a caricature of himself.
Right.
And then, but I think you have to, you can't like forget the other show that he created to represent his life, which was Black-ish, and then kind of merge the two to kind of see where the, if Black-ish went all the way left, that's where Black as Fuck is. You know what I mean? If Black AF, and I, like I said, I haven't watched it, so I can't really say anything, but I have a feeling that if you don't look at Black-ish, then these characters or whatever's happening on this show may not be as funny. It may be more annoying than maybe he set out for it to be. And again, I don't know. I'm talking about stuff I really don't know because I haven't seen the show.
Well, look at, I think a good example would be, that we both seen is, Insecure.
Yeah.
Because there are stereotypical things that are characters in that, mm-hmm. in that show, of all like types of Black people. It's one of those things where like, we can relate to it because of how authentic these people are acting, mm-hmm. even when it's the most crazy, like I forgot her friend's name, but the one that's always getting in trouble, not a road dog, but the one that's like, you know, like
Lisa.
Yes. She is bananas, right? Like she is always like, she's hooking up with people, random places. And she got in a fight at, like not at Woodstock. Yeah, at Coachella, like, and peed on herself or whatever. Like, okay, so, like, obviously, if this is not a knock to the character, but obviously, if I want to depict a Black person in a, you know, maybe a more positive light, I may or may not pick her, right? However, she doesn't offend me. Like, mm-hmm. I think that the things that she does that are outlandish are still very much us. And the same thing with all the other characters in the show, that if they do, they make poor choices or good choices, they're still us in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so, but then at the same time, a lot of the writing, for instance, when like the main character and her friend are working at that, mm-hmm. what is it, the community center, not community center, but the place where they like, they help kids and whatnot. And they were going to the school There you go. They were going to the school and it was like they had like after school, the kids would come and they would kind of learn with them and stuff like that. And the principal, who was Black, was basically treating all the Hispanic kids like trash, basically. Yeah. And her white friend was she noticed it first and was like, this is kind of, don't you think this is kind of messed up? Like, yeah. Like, why is he treating them this way? And it wasn't, you know, so like there's times where even in the crazy, you know, rapping into the mirror and all the other whatever stuff, there's still time for, you know what, there's a point here that we're trying to make. And we can kind of relay it in a way that the audience gets it. And even if someone is being foolish or over the top or extremely stereotypical, it works for what we're trying to do. It doesn't work against the show. No one's on the show has made me go, I can't believe you did that. Like, I can't rock with you anymore. That hasn't been the case. And so that's a good example, I think, because it's not apologetic. You know, like, right. the N-word is dropped, you know, similar to the Boondocks. And, you know, the vices and stuff that they get into, whereas it violence or drama or, you know, the, you know, coupling of whoever, it's all there and it's kind of raw in a sense. But at the same time, I don't feel a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's a good example of, I guess, kind of being Black, even though that's still, the perspectives are still kind of viewed or are kind of skewed because, you know, based on what coast it's on and, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
What do you think of, I was going to ask you this when you talked about, you know, people not knowing any better and, you know, like touching your hair and stuff like that, because that's something that most of us know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where, how do I say that? There's times where we notice something, and because it's not immediately our experience, we still can relate. And it seems like on the opposite end, that's not the case. For instance, my wife has dealt with colorism, where people made fun of her because she was too dark, which is bananas to me, because although I knew that was a thing, that has never happened where I like with at least around my circle, dark or light didn't really matter. On my side of the fence, it was very much like, all of you black people are horrible. Like that's how we were treated. Like all of you, doesn't matter if you're light skin or not. And so when we talk about it though, I can notice, or I can pick up, or I can understand, or at the very least empathize, with that, because I guess just like a even though it's not an experience I've had, it's still a collective. But on the flip side, I wonder. And we probably can't answer this because we're not white. But like, I would just be thinking, like, would that be cool if you just walked up to your white coworker and just put your hands all in her hair and be like, "Oh, your hair is so straight," and like, would she really be cool with that? Like, is that what we do, or is it only because it's us? Like, is it like, I'm confused by that, because even though I have an experience, for the most part, even when my hair is at the biggest fro it could be. People just don't touch my hair, because maybe I'm a guy, but they just don't. So, because even though that's never happened to me, I can look like if someone does it to my wife, I'm like, why would you do that? She's not a zoo animal. Stop it. Why isn't that? I'm confused on why that doesn't dawn on someone. Like, hey, you are touching someone who doesn't necessarily want to be touched. You didn't ask them. You don't know if you're ruining their hair. You don't know what is on your hands. Like you. There's so many red flags. Why does that not dawn? Even if it isn't your experience, what? Like, how does that?
Because some people just haven't had enough smackdowns in their youth to know better. That's really just like, I kind of think that's just what it boils down to.
Do
Just
you
like,
have to be? Do you have to be like throat punched to really get this, or is?
I kind of think you do. You know why? Because if, obviously we grew up in the 80s and stuff, and it's like, look, if what you were watching on TV, because I'm just saying, because obviously this is a time period, 80s and 90s, that I experienced it a lot. And if you're watching on TV, if your life as a suburban kid or whatnot is spent reading books and watching TV and stuff, and black people are portrayed a specific way or a certain way, or maybe not at all, there's already a natural, and this is just my opinion, I could be wrong, but there's already a natural inquisitiveness to people, to humans and children in general, right? And so I'm just saying, if you grew up not being able to see us, not being able to see that on TV, if you kind of grew up in a life that was not centered around being black or experiencing a black life, then you're probably going to be more inquisitive about things that are clearly singular to black people. And so somebody is obviously supposed to be there to swat your hand away and be like, hey, that's not nice, or don't touch people. Obviously, our teachers used to be like, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. But what if it's adults the ones who are doing it? Like, because they don't have the experience. And I'm not excusing it, or I'm not giving excuses. I'm just saying the only way that I can understand this in my mind is that we, as if you are a person of color or whatnot, and you have you live two lives. You live the life that you live as a person of color, and then you live the life of everyone else, of all society, which is, which is normally governed by those who are not of color, by white people. And so we have the what's it called? I guess the privilege of experience both lives. But if you're white, then you get to experience the white life. You know what I mean? You don't have to live and experience the life of a person of color. You don't have to walk in that person's shoes. So if you're young and you're, in the 80s or whatever, if nobody's taught you any different, I'm going to assume that that's probably why you're behaving this way. TV's not teaching you any different. TV is showing you Pert Plus and Pantene Pro-V and Alberto VO5 commercials, all with white women with long hair or white guys with, you know, running their fingers through their hair. The one thing that you're going to notice about little black girls in your second grade class is that all of their hair is in plaits with these big barrettes and stuff. It's probably mind-boggling. At least that's what I experienced from other people. When I turned my hair into a fro my senior year of high school, it was mind-boggling to everyone. Everyone's hands was in my hair. I remember the first time I washed my hair after going to school with my hair out. My hair was the dirtiest I've ever seen my hair in my life. It was brown water. And I also felt a certain type of way telling people to stop touching my hair. I think I ended up telling one of my best friends at the time in school, and somebody was trying to touch my hair in class, and somebody said, she doesn't like that. Somebody stuck up for me and said, she doesn't like that. And I'm like, really? And it's like, yeah, she doesn't like it when people keep touching her hair. And then I think that person looked at me and was like, you don't like when people touch your hair? I was like, well, it gets really dirty really fast. It wasn't even like, don't touch my hair, okay? I know you're confused, and I know you want to see if it feels like a sponge or if it feels like cotton balls or whatever, because the last time you guys saw an afro was never, because it's the year 1999 to 2000, and you've literally, actually, it was actually 2000 already, and you've never seen this before except in movies of the Jackson 5, and all you want to do is put your hands in my hair, and I understand your inquisitiveness, and it's not wrong. Your inquisitiveness is not wrong, but if you're not my bestie, if you're not close to me, like, your hands really shouldn't be in my hair. But I wasn't in that space as a 17-year-old kid to really be able to vocalize probably the emotions that I had, because I didn't even know any better. I know as a little kid, you know, like, my mom could tell me, okay, don't let somebody do this to you. Don't do that, da-da-da-da-da, right? But now I'm a, like, teenager about to be an adult trying to make my own decisions. It wasn't even until later on that I really realized the significance of people putting their hands in my head. It wasn't just, it's making my hair dirty, and I kind of don't like being ogled, and I kind of don't like people, like, in my face and asking me all these questions, because it was just like, dude, it's just a fucking hairstyle.
Well, I mean, and even... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, because on one side, I understand that this is something new. But we've experienced new things. Like, we've been around, like, you know, my dad was in the military. So I, when I was younger, I moved a lot. Like, I've lived in Germany. I lived in multiple places in the United States. And I've met new people, different types of people. And I had questions, definitely had questions. But as far as, like, actually physically doing something because of my questions, that didn't happen. And so, like, even though I can kind of give you the benefit of the doubt, like, you never seen an afro up close. Cool. Why are you touching me, though? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how were we always touching each other? Like, was this just a thing? Because then maybe I can excuse it then. But, like, I give you a high five as far as it goes, or maybe a hug if I haven't seen you in a long time. Have I ever patted you on the head? Like, why would you think that's okay? Like, or even not so much that, but, like, when I ask you to stop, why are you, like, yeah, dumbstruck? Like, you know what I mean?
That goes on to my point of and this is why I'm saying these things are ingrained, because it doesn't make sense, right? I remember in pre-K or, like, pre-K, like, I remember in preschool, I remember in kindergarten, especially in kindergarten, being told, don't touch other people. I remember the teacher saying, keep your hands to yourself. You sort of sing a song, keep your hands to yourself, all that kind of stuff, right? And it kind of, like, goes out the window as you get older. But what I'm trying to say is that I feel as though this is an ingrained type thing, because if you're, like I said, a suburban kid watching TV your whole life or whatnot, remember, we had black shows, we had Family Matters, we had Cosby Show, we had A Different World, we had Fresh Prince. Like, those, they were black shows. They weren't black shows with just, like, all this interaction, like United Colors of Benetton type thing. Okay, like, you know, being real. And then, so I'm just saying, if you are not a person of color and you're watching TV, maybe you're not even watching the black shows, but you have that privilege of living in that non-color world. You live in a white world. And so if what you're seeing on TV that ever includes black people is either just a black show, or it's, you know, everybody getting an Oscar for a slave movie, then maybe there is this sense of superiority. I'm just saying this, Adam, I'm throwing this out there in the air, but I'm like, these things may have come from a long time of ingrained nature and ingrained subliminal messages, because I didn't get that from other people of color. Other people of color weren't always the ones. I mean, by the time I had my afro, it was everybody in my hair. It really was. It was everybody in my hair. But as for the, like, my circle of friends that were people of color, that wasn't, they weren't doing that, because I think they just understood personal space, and they're my friends. So if they're my girlfriends and they're putting their hands in my hair, that's a totally different story. But there were other people, I mean, not black people, but other people of color who were trying to put their hands in my hair too, you know? And that, again, that's more of like a black thing. Black people will know better to not just go ahead and do that, because we learn to keep our hands to ourselves, because you get punched. Okay. And you're not just going to get punched by by another black person. It's your parents. You know, you're going to get your butt whooped. Like, don't touch people. You learn that real quick. And then you learn how to flinch. So anyway, let that go over your head. But I'm just saying, like, I'm saying I'm having to come up with this type of explanation, because there's no other way that I understand it. The only way that I can understand this in my head is that you have to live in a world like our world, the world that we live in, especially this America that we live in, is structured in a certain way, a socioeconomic structure, and it's been like this since America became America. And if black people have always been at the bottom of the barrel in this country, then everybody's always going to look at black people in a certain way until something changes. And part of that is property. Part of that is looking at you as that maybe you're just not as human as I am, you know, type thing. I can touch your hair. I own you. But you may not think that. Like, you may not be reaching out and trying to touch me and whatever, because you really do think you own me. Like, you're like, oh, you're property. But what if that's what you've been seeing on TV, or that's what you've been reading in books, and you don't have the ability to know any different, especially at 12 years old? What if you don't have it? So, because otherwise, I can't explain it to you. I can't. I don't think anybody can. And the only other way to explain it is just to say that people are bad people. And I don't like to say that. I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt and be like, you know what? You are subliminally programmed to behave this way. Otherwise, I don't know why you're doing it.
And that goes back to the idea of the blind spotting for me, because even that, any these actions, the things that we talk about, the things that we're very quick to identify, stems a lot from our backgrounds, and we see things differently because they're not seeing it as a bad thing to touch your hair.
Yeah.
Even though I'm pretty sure that they learned that they should keep their hands to themselves in preschool and stuff like that, they're still not seeing it. And so that's very interesting to me, because with that, because on one end, it's like, well, crap, you only see the bad thing first. All right, fine. Let's say that's how you're programmed. You see the most stereotypical whatever first. And something happened over the week that I forgot to talk about that I looked into that kind of pulls into this as well, where two high school students were on, I think, TikTok, and they did a really racist video.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to go into who they are and what they did, but they were expelled from school. Mm-hmm. This is recent, like during quarantine. And you know, they're like, you know, well, the girl's like, you know, it's, you know, my whole life is ruined, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, at the same time, there's no accountability. There's no, like, what we did was wrong. There's no, none of that. It's everything was done to me. And it's this interesting thing of how, like, you're seeing the world. You're only seeing how everyone responded to you doing something horrible. Not that you actually did something horrible. The cool thing about blind spotting, though, is that you eventually see the other image. And that gives me hope. Because if you start with the negative, if you look long enough, you might actually see some positive there. And that's pretty freaking cool. Because in that, you learn, right? And I can't really fault people who are super young, right? But you eventually get older, and hopefully your view of the world changes as you get older. You mature, you start to see other examples of things that were that prove contrary to what you've learned over the over your span of however, and hopefully that makes you a better person, regardless of what is shown on TV, movies, music videos, you name it. There's something else to be to see from that, and that's for everybody. However you view whoever, like there's some positive there. You just gotta, look. So yeah, so just wanted to kind of hit touch on that, and because I thought it was super interesting. The last thing we're gonna talk about real quick before we end is, and this is kind of like an open-ended question. I don't expect us to actually answer this. This is something that we're gonna kind of give to you, and then maybe you think about it and get back to us. But what would you do? What are you gonna do when the quarantine's over? Like, what's the first thing that everyone's gonna do? One of the things I really want to do, and I'm not gonna do, because I'm just gonna wait. I'm gonna let everybody else test the air first. But I really want to go to a movie. I want to sit in a theater, a dark theater, and kind of like zone out for an hour and a half or whatever. I want to actually enjoy the drive to the theater, and whatever it is I'm watching doesn't really freaking matter. And then and enjoy the drive home and just not have to worry about much of anything outside of getting there on time. I've realized how, like, especially being an introvert, how much that works for me in terms of having my own time. And it's interesting because I'm around people, right? Like you're in a theater with people, but the fact that you're cut off from people in a sense, like no, you're not talking. I don't have to talk to you. I don't know you. Hopefully you're not touching me. And I'm not looking at my phone. I'm just watching whatever. So it's communal because we still need to be around people, but I'm still by myself in a sense. And it works. It's very therapeutic. I found it to be that way over time. Like going to the movies by myself has been extremely therapeutic for me to kind of reset. I get back home and I'm like, yeah, I can let's do whatever we need to get done, get done, because I've reset myself. And I would like to do that again. That would be freaking cool. What about you?
I just want to go outside, honest. I do. I just want to go outside. Like, I go outside only if like my sister needs to go pick up the mail, like from her post office box or something. And like I don't, otherwise I just don't leave my house. And so I just want to take my dog outside, like in the hallway, actually. She doesn't get to go anywhere anymore. I just want to go outside. That's it. I just want to go
That's
outside.
good.
And I'm just
That's
saying,
definitely good.
I'm saying it like that because I know people are like, well, you can go outside. Well, now there's all these like, oh, you have to wear a mask when you go anywhere. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have a mask. And I think bandanas are dumb. Okay. I am not a criminal. I am not, the Magnificent Seven. I don't want to wear a bandana. I don't have a mask. And I'm really just not about this life. I kind of just want to be able to go outside, take a walk around the neighborhood, and not die of corona or not have awkward interactions with the people at the other people outside. People are awkward. It's
They
weird.
are. They
I mean,
are.
one thing, it's like I have walked outside. I haven't gone for a walk in like 3 weeks, but the last time I did, some neighbors, like just some people walking around, some of them were normal. Like they'll acknowledge you. Like we know that there's a virus problem going on. We acknowledge people. We don't speak. Like we don't want to spit anything into the air. We acknowledge each other. We nod at each other, know that we're supposed to stay apart, and maybe we'll cross the street. But the point is, we acknowledge our presence. You know what I mean? It's so
Right.
easy because normally, if you're just walking down the street, you might just say hi. Why? Because I have a dog. And a lot of people be like, oh my God, she's so cute. Or they have a dog. All dog owners are, I mean, not all dog owners, but most of us dog owners in this area are friendly with each other. And, we'll see each other and we'll be like, hi, because we're all going through the same damn struggle with dogs. Okay. We're up at ridiculous hours in the morning, taking our dogs out to poop, thinking to ourselves, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, can't believe I'm picking up poop in a plastic bag. Like, we're like, can't you just use the toilet? Things like that. It's like 4 a.m. Or you just, you know, are minding your business. It's a nice day outside and you want to sit down at the bench. And somebody else wants to sit down on the bench too because they've been walking their dog for 2 miles and they're tired. Just like those types of normal things. But you have people now who at least acknowledge that, know what we're about, like know what's going on, and nod their heads and wave. And it's so nice because there's like a sense of community. And then you've got the complete weirdos who like see you coming from a football field away and immediately start running. And you're like, dude, did you rob someone? Why are you acting this way? There's toilet paper under your arms, isn't it? You just stole somebody's toilet paper and Kleenex Cottonelle wipes. That's why you're running. There's no other reason for you to be running away from me when you were walking towards me a minute ago. Like, and then people who don't know how to share a sidewalk. Like, I was walking back from the store, again, it was like a month ago, and these two guys were walking together. I guess they came from the same house. And then for some reason, guys are so weird. I know you're a guy, but I'm just saying, guys are so weird that it's like they can't walk too close to each other because then somebody will suspect something of them. So instead of them just walking next to each other so that I could pass, they decided to split. So I walked in between them. And I'm like, and they were in like full tactile gear. One of them had a mask on. The other one had a vest on. I was like, what is the vest protecting you from? Okay. There's not bullets out there. They're size 0.01 micron of a virus. Why are you wearing a tactile vest? Someone answer that question for me. I just want to know the answer to that question. I'm not even asking where coronavirus came from. I am asking why the man had a vest on. Moving on. The two of them were so weird.
A friend of mine was asking, because, you know, the people were protesting, and he was like, they had guns. And he's like, who are you going to shoot? Corona? like really?
Yeah.
Anyways, you were saying.
Yeah, just, you know, some people, they're just being really, really extra. And those guys are like, they couldn't touch each other. I guess they thought that that was, like, not appropriate. So they split and made me walk through them. And I was like, you guys do realize that you probably just, like, released droplets onto me? Like, you could have just been kind and walked the other way. And then some people in cars were, like, looking at them weird. But whatever. I just want people to start being normal again. I want to walk down the street and not have somebody like come up to me, try to touch my dog, knowing good and well we're in a coronavirus, and then say, oh, you don't have anything to worry about. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Yeah. I don't have anything to worry about. We're all falling flat on our faces of coronavirus, and you're going to sit there and try to touch my dog? Get out of here. I just want what I'm saying is I just want to go outside like a normal day with my dog. Or a 20-minute walk, or I just want to go for a walk by myself and not be ostracized because I'm not wearing a mask. That's it.
I feel you. I feel you. So let us know in the comments. What would you do, or what do you plan on doing as soon as quarantine is over? And I don't mean over in the sense of, like, what we're getting ready to do pretty soon here. I mean over, like, it's gone. Like, we're good. There's no more cases that we know of, at the least. And everything's open and free. Like, what would you do? Definitely let us know. And maybe we'll look into that when we come back. But beyond that, though, thanks for staying with us this hour and some change to talk about some cool stuff, some interesting, introspective topics here. I've had a great time so far. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, some more news and whatnot has gone up on the website at unitedfrontgaming.com. For instance, Streets of Rage 4 has a release date. It's coming at the end of this month. So be on the lookout for that. We're supposed to be getting review codes. So, you know, hopefully a review will follow, if not before then. Also, Crytek announced Crysis Remastered. If you remember that game, the first-person shooter, it crashed people's PCs back in the day. Like, it was, that's how, like, insane it was graphic wise like, back in 2007, it was crazy. So this one looks even better from the brief, you know, teaser that they showed. And then also, which I think it's probably sold out by now if you didn't know, but Microsoft and CD Projekt Red announced the Cyberpunk 2020 Limited Edition Xbox One X. It looks freaking awesome, and it comes with a really cool controller that's based on Keanu Reeves' character in the game. It was sold out last time I checked. However, they were supposed to be getting some more, and the controller, which you can buy separate of the console, that one is still on sale in different places. I believe GameStop has some as well. But yeah, all that is on the website, so definitely go check that out. And also the Yakuza series, another Yakuza game has made it to the Xbox. If you've been on Sony or PlayStation, you know all the Yakuza games are there, but they're finally coming over to Xbox. This one was Yakuza Kiwami. And that's the remake of the original one. Yakuza 0 is already on there, and the sequel is going to be on there later this year. So, yeah, basically a bunch of good gaming news and whatnot is on the website, so definitely go check that out. Definitely follow the site on Twitter at @U_F_G. You can follow me on Twitter and IG now at Kenny UFG. You can follow Tess at
Messy_B.
Yes, I did remember that. I just had a brain fart. yeah, definitely subscribe and hit the notification bell so you can get all of our content and you know exactly when it's going up and all that good stuff. Yeah, I think that's it for housekeeping.
All right. Well, we've had a lovely time. Thank you guys all for joining us, and we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.